Every day, Seattle police come into contact with an average 27 people experiencing a mental health crisis. Sometimes it's mental illness. It also happens to elderly people with dementia or people abusing drugs. According to a federal monitor, the Seattle Police Department is making great strides in helping these people using something called crisis intervention teams. These teams include mental health professionals like Justin Dawson, who told KUOW's David Hyde about a woman his team has helped.
20-something, early 30s maybe. She was calling 911 or having people call 911 on her 50 times a week because she would go and swallow tacks or threaten to swallow tacks and staples. Ultimately, what we did was we integrated ourselves with the care team, that her mental health providers, her housing, her drug and alcohol treatment, and really worked collaboratively to create this stabilization plan for her and getting her to trust that we were going to be there as part of this, a sort of a positive police contact.
What happened to her?
We have facilitated her getting transferred to a different program that was more supportive, got her into integrated housing that was supported with staff on site 24 hours a day. All the support systems were very, very much working together and communicating very, very well. Ultimately, she stopped, for the most part, swallowing the tacks. She comes up and is like, hi, every time she sees us now, and is smiling and is happy to see the officers who she's known to have seen in the past frequently. So she's much, much better off than she was before.
That success story told there by Justin Dawson, a mental health professional who's working with the Seattle Police Department's crisis intervention team. The team's coordinator, Sergeant Dan Nelson, says every SPD officer gets some training in mental health issues, but to be on the crisis intervention team, officers volunteer to do at least 40 hours of specialized training. And that training lets officers help in ways they didn't before.
Historically, interactions with people with mental health issues and law enforcement has been pretty negative, right? If someone is having a lot of mental health related symptoms, you know, they're going to come to our attention, either them calling in suicide threats or things like that, or other people calling and reporting their symptomatic behavior that they're observing kind of secondhand. And so when we get there, traditionally, we were either sent to jail or sent to the hospital. Now, you know, we're able to act as that bridge and be referral points. So we're actually having a lot more positive contacts with people in crisis. And we're doing a much better job documenting that. And so I think that's going to inform overall public opinion on, okay, this is exactly what we're doing. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Now, we still have some barriers in place that we have to work with, you know, as a group.
What about people in law enforcement who are just skeptical about this idea? What kind of persuading do they need to see why this is important as opposed to the old way of doing things?
Sure. I always say, you know, CAT is an investment in time. And at the end of the day, no officer wants to keep going out to deal with the same person, the same incident over and over again. And so what I tell folks is, you know, if we spend a little bit more time and try and do a better job problem solving, there's a better likelihood that we're not going to have to deal with this person around this incident or types of incidents again. So we're actually going to reap a lot of rewards on the back end, and that shakes out into extra time for the officers to do other projects or respond, have better response times to other incidents, because we're not putting all these resources and energy into the same person on the same issues over and over again.
Why should a program like this be voluntary if it's so great?
Because we want people in the program who want to do it and have shown the aptitude to be able to do it. Right. At the end of the day, is if we have somebody who is staying on a bridge, we want our best officer going to that call. Right. We want someone who we voluntold to be part of this program to go. We want people, because there's the vast majority of officers love doing this type of work, and they're really, really, really good at it. And so we want to be able to identify who those officers are so we can have the best possible outcome at the time.
That makes sense, but wouldn't every police officer benefit?
Absolutely, but people have different aptitude levels for being able to do stuff, right? You know, if you have an active shooter situation, while we all go through firearms training and tactics training, I think it'd be a good idea to have the SWAT guys there, because they're really, really good at it. And they do all kinds of extra training, and they're very, very seasoned at it. Same thing with CIT. Is everybody can do it. The CIT folks, they're really, really good at it. And this is kind of what they wanted.
It's a division of labor thing.
Agreed.
Yeah. Bottom line, what are the citizens of Seattle getting out of this program?
They're getting a better police response. Our understanding of what we're dealing with is growing. Our understanding of different resources we can bring to bear to deal with folks is growing. And as a result of it, people in Seattle are getting a better product. From
a safer city?
Absolutely.
Does it change how you think about the job and what it means to be a police officer at all to get involved with this kind of a program? I mean, it's harder.
Yeah, I mean, there's a I think a lot of people get into policing and, when you're a kid, you think about cops and robbers and doing stuff like that. And you don't really think about going into this line of work to be such an integral part of the social service network and being such a big referral point.
You're a protector, but now you're like a more of a problem solver. You're part social worker.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I say this all the time is, police and social workers are two completely different jobs while we're going towards the same common goal, right? We want the person to have less interactions with the police system or the 911 response system. We want the person's quality of life to improve. And we just don't want to have to keep coming back out to them. And now how we go about those two jobs are completely different, right? Where we're more focused on public safety and making sure that that person's staying safe and the community in general staying safe. They have a different view, but we're going towards the same goal. So CIT has been a really good bridge to be able to link those two things and, again, have a very good open conversation about, like, okay, we're all working towards the same goal. We want this person to not be relying on the emergency rooms and jails, not have to be such high utilizers of the system. And at the end of the day, we want this person to have a nice, productive life. And so how are we going to work together to get that done?
Sergeant Dan Nelson coordinates the Crisis Intervention Program for the Seattle Police Department. The federal monitor that's overseeing reforms at SPD has called that program successful and comprehensive.